Good morning, everybody. I am Gary. We are glad you're here this morning. If you're visiting with us, you're with the Greater Alton Church. And we have been immersed for the last several weeks, I guess this is week 12, in talking about what does Jesus do with a variety of topics. You know, kind of keying off of the phrase, the bracelets, you know, what would Jesus do, you know, but what did Jesus do? What does he do with a variety of topics? What does Jesus do with the Word of God? What does Jesus do with temptation? What does Jesus do with fear? What does Jesus do with politics? Those are just some of the topics that we've been looking at. And guys, it's been, for me, getting to be a part of this, it is incredible to see what you can learn preparing to be up here like this. And I just want to encourage the rest of you. Tim is going to close out this series next week. And he said that people have been bringing him other topics. I don't know what those were, but why don't you do, have you thought about doing this? Have you thought about doing this? And I just want to encourage you, if something like that comes to your mind, I want to encourage you to go research that yourself. Just to go look at it and go, okay, what did Jesus do with this particular topic? What does Jesus do with whatever it may be that comes to your mind? Okay, it's very simple to do if you go on any of the Bible software. I like to use BibleGateway.com, and you can do what's called a word search. My wife and I was up here 2 weeks ago talking about what does Jesus do with the poor. And guys, it just amazed me when I just did a word search for the word poor in the Gospels. And I looked at what Jesus had to say about the poor and the way he interacted with the poor. I mean, one of the most amazing things was how many different groups of people did he say their relationship with him or their relationship in the kingdom of God should start with selling their stuff and giving it to the poor. Okay? And that revelation, that understanding spoke to me. And guys, that wasn't beyond anybody in this room being able to look at the Word of God on a certain topic and say, what does Jesus do about this? Okay, you don't have to wait and rely upon us up here to read your Bible. Amen? You can do that on your own. And I encourage you, if you do something, share it with me. I would love to see it. Okay, love to discuss it with you. Happy to do that. But today, guys, we're going to be looking at a topic of truth. What does Jesus do with truth? Now, this is a topic that I told Tim I wanted to talk about. And most of you know, I don't usually do that. I usually trust God to give me the topic he wants me to talk about through Tim. Tim decides it. And on occasion, I say, okay, I want to talk about this. This is one of those topics. It was just put on my heart. Tim Allen and I, as the elders, we meet on Thursday mornings. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking. We just were seeing this need for us to look at truth. And I've just gotta be honest with you guys, this didn't end up where I thought God was gonna lead me with it. I think, guys, that truth is a huge issue in our world today. Okay? I mean, it is very simple. I mean, you know, you can look at it all over the place, anything on social media. Social media is not a great place to go looking for truth. Okay? I've come up with a term that I call Facebook facts. Okay? And if it, you know, you see it on Facebook and then somebody repeats it. And why is it? Because there's no verification process. Somebody puts something out there, whether they heard it, whether they read it, whether they believe it, whether they made it up. You don't know, but it resonates with you. And when it resonates with you, what do you want to do? You want to share it. And I challenge anybody, guys, and that's where I thought this lesson was going to go, is we need to research things. We need to know what is factually true. Okay? Because it is such a huge issue in our world today. One of the guys that, you know, and I can tell you, I'll save that for later. See, guys, there's a segment of our society that does not believe objective truth exists. Okay? And they believe it's all subjective. What does that mean? That means you can have your truth and I can have my truth. And we shouldn't judge each other by our different truths. Okay? And it's just, you define truth for yourself. And that's why you come up with, as you saw, you've probably heard about the documentary that was out there, What is a Woman? And you had people who were of this mindset who say, well, a woman is somebody who claims they're a woman. And that's the only thing they could say about it. Okay? And that's because they believe if somebody says they're a woman, regardless of what they were born, regardless of their chromosomes, regardless of their anatomy, they're a woman. And it's the same with a man. And you can go on and on. They define it by that. I'm not going to get into that specific topic, but guys, I think to me that is the most glaring thing there is. And sadly, guys, those that have this mindset, they promote it, but they don't necessarily come out and say it. You see, guys, every one of us is confronted with this on a near daily basis. All you got to do is look at the polarization of politics in America. Okay, most of us have our political ideology that we embrace, that we believe is right. Okay, and we think about that. But the sad truth is that the majority of us tend to gravitate towards what are called echo chambers. You know what an echo chamber is? It's where you go and hear the same thing over and over and over and over again. Okay? And guys, I just want to challenge you for that. All of us, no matter what you think or believe, is to go listen to the other side. Okay? Because that's just a little challenge that I have when you see something or hear something, investigate it. Investigate it. I love listening to a guy on YouTube called Nate the Lawyer. Okay, anybody know Nate the Lawyer? You would enjoy listening. Nate says, I have some far left opinions and some far right opinions. And he is a lawyer and he presents things from a factual legal standpoint and throws it out there for what it is. And I just recently listened to one of his things, and it was a topic that you've all heard about. A young man was shot by a off-duty police officer. And you know the storyline that got told. Family and friends were out there. He would never hit the police officer with his gun. He would never point a gun at somebody else. This is not true. We heard he had his hands up. And then what happened? The family got to see the dash cam. They got to see the real facts. And to their credit, they came out and they said, this young man made a bad decision. And this was a justified shooting. When the video showed him pointing his gun at the out of uniform police officer. And guys, this is just reality. We should be lovers of truth, lovers of fact. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 17, it says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. And guys, that is just the truth. That is, to me, what happens with social media is you hear something and bam, you grab a hold of it. You know, one of my favorites that I was victim to, I wasn't as guilty as Alan was, but I was falling guilty to it, was a post that was on Facebook. I don't do a lot on Facebook. It was several years ago. And it was talking about they had found the remnants of Egyptian chariots under the water in the middle of the Red Sea where they should not be from the time frame of when Moses was supposed to lead the Israelites and cross the Red Sea. And it's proving the biblical story that, you know, the Red Sea parted and all these soldiers ended up in the middle. And as a believer in Jesus and God and the Bible, it's like, yes! But before I repeated it, I had the sense to go look it up. And there was no validation for it. It was just something somebody made up. Alan's liked it, I think, is all you did, right? You did something, shared it or something. You thought it was real and somebody comment, hey, you may want to go check that out. Yeah. But guys, it's just the truth of the matter. When it comes to truth, sometimes the first thing we hear, especially if it's what we want to hear. Okay? And if you're on social media, the way I understand it, You've heard the algorithm. They're going to feed you what you like to hear. That's the way it is. You have to go look for the other side of it. You have to dig into it. But guys, what we're going to, I just wanted to say it's a topic. It's an issue. Okay? And I didn't see Jesus dealing directly with that as the way I would like to. But let's talk about what he does. Guys, when you look up the definition of the word truth in the English dictionary, there's three definitions that I want to give to you. One of them, I believe, is in your notes. It says, corresponding to reality. Okay? A second one is a verified or undisputable fact, proposition, principle, or the like. And here's the one that really jumped out at me. It's agreement with a standard or original. And guys, it's that last definition, agreement with a standard or original, that I really want to focus in on. You see, guys, again, I just did a word search for the word truth in the Bible. Would you care to guess which one of the four gospels truth is mentioned a whole bunch more than the other gospels? It's the book of John. And you look here in John chapter 1, verses 14 and 17, these are very popular passages. It says, the Word, speaking about Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And it goes on to say, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now that's not just talking about before Jesus came along, we couldn't understand factual reality. There was no, that's not what it's saying. I believe that's what he's saying is what we're going to get into is Jesus was in agreement with a standard or the original. You see guys, he was in agreement with God. He was in agreement with how humans were supposed to be. The original humans were designed to be perfect imagers of God, to represent God accurately, and we have failed. Jesus, on the other hand, is truth. You want to know the reality of God, the facts about God. You look how Jesus lived and what Jesus taught. And that's what it is. And so guys, what does Jesus do with truth? Well, the first thing is that Jesus lived the truth. Jesus lived the truth. As I was saying, to back up what I was just saying about that he was the ultimate agreement with God. He showed us what God is really like. In John 14, this is what it says. Jesus with his disciples and Thomas, who is the doubting one. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Why is that? Because he's in agreement with the original. You'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I'm sorry, this cracks me up. Based on what Jesus just said, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. He just told him, you know him and you've seen him. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? See guys, this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus is showing us Jesus' life. Everything about him was displaying God. He was displaying, living the original design and purpose for human beings, which was to be imagers of God, to reflect God's character, to reflect God's glory, to be exactly like God. So creation could see and experience God through humans. That was it. And guys, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see it so clearly until I was looking at this for this lesson. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he goes, I am the only one in agreement with the original purpose. I'm the only one in agreement with the original Father, with the original God. That's what I am. And guys, that's significant because we are supposed to be imagers of God. And that when we look at Jesus, that's what's so significant about this series, that it draws our attention to what was Jesus really like. And you want to know the truth on any topic, you look at what Jesus has to say about it, or how he interacted with it, or what did he do that corresponds to it. That's what it is. You see, guys, as followers of Jesus, if you, and whatever name you use, I like to use followers of Jesus. You may use the title Christian. You may use the title disciple. Okay? Whatever you want to do it, you need to understand that Jesus expects me to live by the truth also. Okay, this wasn't just, okay, great, Jesus did it, now we're saved, our sins are forgiven because he died on the cross, that's great stuff, and now we can just thank you Jesus for fulfilling the original purpose for man and saving us, and now I can go live my life. You have to understand that if you are a follower of Jesus, that is your purpose as well. Now you're not going to do it perfect. We already know, we already blown that. Spoiler alert. Okay? You've already blown it, just like I have. But guys, we are called to do the same thing. Look at this passage here in John chapter 3. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You see, guys, what he's saying here is that if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we're supposed to come into the light. Why? So that we can live by truth. We're supposed to have this plan, this purpose, this mission, if you will, to live by truth the way Jesus did. That we're to represent God. We are to image God. And a characteristic of that, I'm going to talk more about this in a little bit, but a characteristic of this is that if we want to walk in truth, we need to come into the light. Now, why are we resistant to come into the light? We are resistant to come into the light because what does the light show? All the bad stuff. Okay? It reveals what the Bible calls as evil. That's what it's saying here, our evil deeds. And we have a natural resistance to that. We do not like to be exposed. But what Jesus is telling us is, as his followers, we need to live the truth the way he lived the truth. We need to be imagers of God. We need to represent God. See, guys, look at this in 2 Peter chapter 2. Years after Jesus was off this earth, Peter's talking to Christians and he says, but there were also false prophets among the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Guys, the truth of the matter is that right now, at least in America, and I assume in other parts of the world, the way of the truth has been brought into disrepute. Okay? Christians are not perfect. And some Christians are just like this, that he just talked about. That they're false teachers. and many will follow their depraved conduct. I've spoken about this multiple times, and guys, I love some of these podcasts and YouTube stations that talk about this. There's one out there, it's called the Royes Report, R-O-Y-S. I think her first name is Julie, where she investigates ministers who fit this mold right here. Okay? And in fact, the majority of what it is you have a lot of preachers, ministers, pastors, whatever you want to call them, whatever title you wish to use, leaders, who sexually abuse people. Okay, that's the main topic of what she does. And it's all over the place. And I told you this before, last year and a half, there was like 10 to 12 prominent preachers in the Dallas, Texas area who were exposed for something like this. Who things came out, who they stepped down. The most renowned one is Robert Morris from the Gateway Baptist Church, who he led this church for like 25 years. He started this church, mega church, multiple locations. They have video of him talking on Sunday morning and talking about his immorality as a young man that even carried over. You know, after he became a Christian, he didn't just abandon that. He still had a hold of him. And he openly confessed that. But what he did not openly confess is that one of the young ladies was 12 years old when it started. And he was in his early 20s. And he just recently pled guilty to that crime in the state of Oklahoma. But guys, after it was exposed, what happens to a church that has platformed a man like that? That church has taken a hit. Why? People don't want to be a part of it. Okay? And guys, this goes on and on. Now, I'm sure every one of you have seen it. You probably know somebody who claims to be a Christian, but guess what? They don't represent Jesus. They aren't the image of God, aren't trying to be the image of God. And the only thing, guys, that we can do about that is that we have to live the truth. And we have to call each other to live the truth. I can't change Robert Morris. I can't change what went on at Gateway Church down in Dallas, Texas, or some of the other churches. The IHOP. There's a place in Kansas City. International House of Prayer. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? And there is a fairly long list of women, young women, that he seduced and abused and covered up. Okay? And he's back being platformed, back being recognized as being restored. And guys, it's sad. And people look at this and they go, I don't want anything to do with Christianity because that's the way it is. I can't change that. But I've got to be focused on how I live. And you see, guys, I'm not going to use that as an excuse for me not to live like Jesus. Second thing is Jesus invites us to know the truth. Guys, this is the most encouraging thing for me about Jesus and the truth. And you guys, you're familiar with this passage in John chapter 8. If you came to know Jesus through Greater Alton, this is one of the passages you looked at fairly early on. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, this is what it says. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He goes on to speak to these people. He goes, as it is, you are looking for a way to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the work of your own father. Highly encourage you to read John chapter 8 and look at Jesus in his conversation with these Jewish leaders that came to him and the way they responded to him after he said these first two verses about, if you're really my disciples. Number one, they believed in him. Intellectual belief in Jesus isn't enough. Okay? It doesn't just zap you. Okay? He goes on to say, if you're really my disciples, you'll hold to my teachings. Then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Guys, that's an incredible promise. I mean, what's it going to set you free from? Anything that holds you back. Anything that holds you down. Anything that has control of you. The next series that Tim has came up with, I get to be involved, but I'm not the only one. I hope I'm not giving a spoiler here for him. But it's called hooked on a feeling. Oh, in preparation for the holidays. Guys, and he just asked me this morning to be talking, I don't know when, but I'll get to talk about depression because I've dealt with depression. Guys, I am free of depression. And guys, it is incredible. We have so many feelings that we can get hooked on, okay? And they seem right. Depression sounded like a good idea to me. I don't know how to say it. I'll talk later. But guys, the truth is you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. I can know how I'm supposed to act. I cannot be bound by my feelings, my emotions, my desires. And Jesus invites me to know the truth. And the truth is what sets you free. Understanding the original. In the book of Colossians, it talks about that rules don't bring about godliness. Now, this sounds so counterintuitive. It sounds so against most of us to believe, because most of us were exposed at some point in time in a church that was a legalistic church. It's a rules-based. Here's the rules. Do this, don't do that. You discuss what you should do, what you shouldn't do. People confront you about doing things you shouldn't do. They confront you about not doing things they think you should do. And churches are known for rules. And he says they have no value. That's what Colossians says. Go read it yourself. They have no value in restraining sensual indulgence. Rules don't make me godly. They don't. Living as an imager of God frees me from my sensual desires. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And guys, it's terribly exciting. If you have anything in your life that you look at and you go, I can't get control of this. I can't let go of this. I want to let you know Jesus is offering you freedom. He's offering you to know the truth. You look at it and you go, this is clearly not from God. This is clearly ungodly. And I can't seem to get a grip on it, guys. And addictions, there's a full long list and gamut of addictions. Of things that control us. And Jesus' path to getting free of those is to know the truth. And they get there by following his teachings. Because that's what his teachings are all about. Is to reveal what God is really like. To reveal how God would interact and deal with different situations. Third thing about Jesus and truth is that Jesus exposes lies and liars. Now this is either going to be a good thing or a bad thing depending on where you're at. Okay, let's read this passage here, also in John chapter 8. Again, I encourage you to go back and read all of John chapter 8 and this whole conversation that we didn't have time for this morning. But this is what it said. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Guys, it's a fascinating passage, John chapter 8. And I encourage, again, I ask you to go back and read it yourself and see what's going on there, you see, because it starts out with saying Jesus is speaking to the Jews who had believed him. These are people who intellectually acknowledged Jesus for who he was claiming to be up to that point in time. They believed in who he was. They believed in what he was saying. And so Jesus takes it a step farther, telling him, if you obey my teachings, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then it's like, whoa. We're children of Abraham and have never been slaves of anyone. You see, guys, they've bought into a lie. They have believed the lie and as a result have become liars. That's what happens when you believe lies from the devil. When you believe things that are not from God, that are ungodly, you become a liar. And the truth isn't in you. What? God's not in you. That's what Jesus is saying here. And they go so far as to say they're challenging Jesus. They believed in Jesus until he confronted their lies. Then they didn't like what Jesus had to say. Then they were calling him all kinds of names. Let me ask you a question. If there's a lie you're believing right now, do you want that revealed to you? Do you want it revealed? Okay. You see, guys, because that lie is going to hold you captive. You're not free. And Jesus is wanting you to be free. I don't know where it's at. I don't know what it's about. I don't know the topic. But you see, that's the problem. We believe a lie. I was reminding Alan about this years ago when I was in the middle of my struggle with depression. Alan said, "What benefit are you getting from depression?" And he was trying to get me to think. Okay? And what he was saying is, Gary, you believe you're getting some benefit from depression or you wouldn't be depressed. That's one of those things where you go, You know, what's the emoji? Let me think about that. I never came up with a real clear answer. Other than maybe it was an escape from the pain and the circumstances that I viewed as so bad. Okay? And I started this as a child. Okay? And I believed it was, maybe I was hoping the lie was, somebody's going to someday see how bad off I am and do something about it. I was believing whatever it was exactly was wrong. Alan's question was enough to make me think and go, yeah, this ain't good. I shouldn't be there. I was happy to have the lies exposed, even though I couldn't identify it clearly. Next question. Do you want to belong to God? You see, guys, this is what's going on here. These are people, you gotta understand, Jesus is talking to the most religious people of his day. The most godly people of his day. The religious teachers of his day. And he's telling them, you don't belong to God. Do you want to know if you don't belong to God right now? I'm not gonna tell you. I'm not gonna answer that question for you, okay? That's not what this is about. I'm not going to go around the room, but you understand. Let's go on. Just going through this passage. If you belong to the devil right now, would you like to have it revealed? Would you like God to reveal that to you? That, look, you're not listening to me. You're listening to the father of lies. Next question. We'll go a little more positive here. So are you walking in the light now? You see, guys, you want to know how you're walking, you know if you're walking in the light? If your lies are being revealed. Okay, that's how you want to know. That's how you know. If your deeds are being exposed. Things that you either thought were okay or benign, or you just were choosing to overlook them, and you didn't realize how much effect they were having on your relationship with God. See, guys, that's what we want to do. Do you want to have your ungodliness exposed? I don't particularly care for it most of the time. Okay, I've grown in that where I've even stood up here and said, you know, talked about a situation and I go, my evil desire is for this. And that usually makes people laugh. And I say, the evil part of me when I'm talking with friends, I acknowledge, this is what I want. And usually when I'm doing that, I'm recognizing, yeah, I don't think this is what Jesus wants. You see, guys, that passage we just looked at back in John chapter 3, I just reference it back to you, and I'll read it again. says this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Jesus exposes lies and liars. And if you're wanting to walk in the light, you should not only expect it, but on some level you should want the lies revealed that you've grabbed a hold of. You see, guys, the truth is, if you're going to keep following Jesus, they're going to be exposed anyway. Jesus said that. Let's look at these last two passages. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person." 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." You see, guys, the truth of the matter is this. Jesus is truth. He lived it. He wants us as followers of him to live that same truth. And he wants us to have the lies that are in us exposed. Now, guys, I don't know where you're at today. Okay? I don't know where each of us is at. Some days I don't know where I'm at. But, guys, I can say without a doubt, I just want to close out today encouraging you, challenging you, that the truth you need to be concerned about is understanding what God is really like so that you can represent him, so that you can image him in this world that you live in. Okay? And in, as part of that process, you are going to have the sin and the lies exposed in your life. And I want to encourage you guys. I mean, I'm sure some of you, as I said this, I don't know who, but I'm going to guess somebody in this room might be squirming. Just a little bit, because you got something you don't want exposed. Now, it's not going to be exposed up here necessarily. That's not what it is. But it needs to be exposed to you. That's where the exposure needs to take place. Okay? Let me be clear. I don't want to bring nobody up here. I don't want to call anybody out. But God wants to have a private conversation with you. And guys, it is awesome. It is liberating if you go through that. And it's even more liberating if you can learn to live that way. And that's what Jesus calls us to. Let's pray and we'll be done. Father, this is a challenging lesson. It is challenging to think about being in your presence and having my true thoughts, attitudes, actions, feelings exposed for what they really are. I cannot count the number of times that I felt and believed something so strongly was right and only to have to confess to myself that I was wrong. And confess to you that it was wrong. To agree with you. Father, that's so freeing. That's so liberating. And Father, I praise you for sending Jesus and showing us this freedom. Making this freedom available. Father, I want to pray right now. You know, I just said there could be somebody in this room that's squirming right now. Father, I want to pray you'll touch their heart with the possibility of the freedom that they get to experience. Father, that's the way you want us to live. You don't want us to live in chains. You don't want us to live oppressed. You don't want us to live under the control of sin. You want us to represent you. And that's where freedom comes from. Father, put that desire on our hearts each and every day. And it's in Jesus that I pray. Amen.
This is my desire to honor. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that Lord, have your